This episode of Talk Fitness is in partnership with The Vitamin Shoppe, where knowledgeable health enthusiasts are standing by to help you thrive every day.
I remember learning about the Iron Man a long, long time ago, and I thought, what kind of person can do that? It's so incredible, and it's such a commitment to train and to have that physicality, and I thought, wow, that is really something. So I'm excited to have the wonderful Ted Spiker back on the show. I just think he's so fantastic. He is a chair of the Department of Journalism at UF. He teaches advanced magazine writing in sports media and society. He has been an editor at Men's Health. He does a great blog, Big Guy Blog for runnersworld.com. He was named by greatest.com as one of the 100 most influential people in health and fitness, and he was named the 2016-17 Teacher of the Year for the University of Florida. Ted, hello.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me.
It's so great to have you on. I don't even remember how long ago it was that I heard about the Iron Man. I mean, like years and years and years and years. And I, like I said, I was just, wow, that is just, I can't even run around the block. Oh, I can, but this is it's just incredible. So for people who are new to this, can you break down the Iron Man? And then I want to hear like every detail of what your training was like, how many blisters you got on your feet. Well, maybe not that, but you know, everything that went into it.
Sure. Yeah. So Iron Man, I'm with you. I remember seeing it as a kid on, you know, on TV. They would show this event. I was just in awe of it because I was like, wow, this is just an amazing, you know, physical feat. So essentially it's the full Iron Man is a 2.4 mile swim, a 112 mile bike, followed by a marathon, 26.2 miles, all done.
Okay, that's
right in a row.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, in one shot. And here's the kicker of it all. So the kicker is, for it to count as an Ironman, you have to finish within 17 hours. So if you finish in 17 hours and 1 second, the time next to you is DNF, did not finish. So even if you finished, if you didn't finish under the time limit, you get a DNF. So it's not just can you complete it, but you've got to finish it in 17 hours.
Wow. Now I do want to know about the blisters. That's a lot of running.
yeah, it's a long day, especially when you go as slow as I do. So, it's a crazy adventure for sure.
So, when did you decide, okay, this is something I want to do?
Well, you know, I always had it in the back of my mind that this was something I would love, but I was never a good athlete. I was the kind of person that just yo-yoed a lot with weight. So, you know, I'm on the bigger side. I'm more built like lineman than the person you normally think of as being an endurance athlete. So I never really thought it was possible that, you know, I was going to try this. And I had dabbled a little bit. I liked to run. I had done a couple smaller triathlons back when I was working at Men's Health. Never fast, but, you know, my mantra is plug away and, you know, see what you can accomplish and, you know, try to get done what you can get done. So I had done a couple of, run events, and I did a couple obstacle course races. And one of the guys who I did the obstacle course race with was, this was back in 2012. One of the guys I did the obstacle course race with said, okay, you know what we're doing next? I said, well, he said, we're doing an Ironman. I said, yeah, you're out of your mind. He had just finished one, and, you know, he spoke so highly of it. It was like, you know, he was a changed person. He loved it. He loved the training. He loved the sense of accomplishment. He loved the fact that this was like the peak of athleticism, right? If you could do 2.4 swim, 112 bike, and a 26.2 run, then that's like, you know, that's pretty good. And I was like, oh, yeah. Do you see me?
I'd
you
say
know?
So.
Do you see me? I am not built to do an Ironman.
Yeah.
He said, no,
have
we're doing
you
it.
Seen me?
So in order to get into the one we were going to do, we were going to do Ironman Florida because it's close to where we live, about 4 hours away. You had to volunteer at the year before. So we went up and volunteered, and we were stationed at one of the run stations and helped people kind of with their supplies and bags. And I had seen it on TV, but I'd never been in the, you know, live with it. And it was just unbelievable to see the people just gritting and grinding away and realize they had been going since 7 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, where we were stationed, they had 13 miles left to run. And it was inspiring, you know. And the next day we got in the registration line and registered, and off we were going. And it was a year of, for me, especially, you know, not being super into this world at that time, was it was a pretty intense year of training and getting prepared and worrying, right? I wanted to finish. I wanted to have this accomplishment. I didn't want to put all this training in for a DNF, and it was definitely a lot.
All right, Ted. So tell us about the training experience and get into all the details.
Yeah. So I had done a few triathlons before, you know, years ago, and knew a little bit about it, and just from writing about health and fitness, I had a pretty good sense of what it would entail. But you know, I certainly relied on my friend who had been through it before, and also did my own research to kind of figure out what would work for me. Because really, the tricky part of training is not just the fatigue of having to train for three disciplines, but it's how do you work that into your life, right? Because life doesn't stop just because you are crazy exactly. And want to do this big event. So, you know, so what I tried to kind of do was, you know, my goal, I wasn't trying to reach any certain time. My only goal was I needed 16:59:59, right? I mean, I didn't want it as close as that, but that was the only goal, is just make sure you get under 17 hours. So I tended to break it up into, I swam 2 or 3 days a week. I ran 2 to 3 days a week, and I biked 2 to 3 days a week. So what I ended up doing was, and obviously you got to pair them up because the math doesn't add up. So sometimes you're doing a morning and afternoon or morning and night type workout, or sometimes you're trying to get them both done at night or in the morning or whatever works for your schedule. So the way I tried to approach this was I did my short workouts and, you know, as much as I could during the week. And then I was fortunate enough to be able to work from home on Fridays. So that's the day I saved for my big long bike ride. So I would go as soon as the sun went up and get my long ride in. So, you know, that was fine when we first started training, but then you start to get to 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 mile rides that eats up a big chunk of the day. And then I would do my long run on one day on the weekend. And that's how it sort of broke up. You know, if I'm looking in hindsight of how I would have done it differently, I definitely didn't spend enough time on the bike. I spent a lot of time swimming because I wanted to try to, you know, be decent in there. But when you look at the grand scheme of things, the swim is only a fraction of your day. You know, you should really, you know, obviously you want to do as well as you can, but I wish I had spent more time just working on kind of power, speed, and endurance on the bike. And if I had done that, I probably would have had a little better performance on race day. You know, and because that's such a key component, because it takes up a big part of your day, and you figure that, gosh, even when you're running, you can walk and keep moving forward, but it's hard if you're not really trained up on the bike. So in hindsight, I wish I had put a little bit more emphasis on the bike. But I would say maybe 4 weeks out, I mean, and I knew this was coming, but my friend who, you know, got me into this mess, said, we are, you know, you're doing a simulation day, you know, about 4 weeks out. So basically you would swim to 2.4 miles and you were going to bike 112 and then you were going to run 6, right? So that's going to give you the confidence to know you're going to get this done, right? Yeah, you still got 20 miles more you have to do on race day, but just doing that simulation is going to have you mentally prepared to do it. So I guess it was about 4 weeks out, you know, because you can't totally simulate it because you don't really have open water in Florida that's easy to go out and do 2.4 miles without the risk of wild animals infringing on your training. So, so quick drove to the pool, did my 2.4 miles before the sun came up, and then, you know, drove back home and got on the bike, did the bike. And then instead of doing 6, I ended up just doing 2 because I was just cooked. I was just like, okay, I got through 2/3 of the workout. I'm just going to try to put my feet together and get a little bit of work in. And I did, and I felt good. It was a long training day. That basically the whole day was shot doing that one, but I got it in and it gave me some confidence going into race day. But, to be honest, I was most worried. I'm not a, you know, I don't cycle that much. I bought a used triathlon bike, and my biggest concern was, man, if I get a flat on race day, you know, that's going to eat up so much time because I'm not used to changing flats. I mean, I practiced it, but I'm not used to it. I'm gonna be sweaty and grimy and nervous, and I needed every second I could get, and I knew that. So it's almost like all these little things you actually need to train for. You need to train for how your body's going to react to food, what kind of food you can have, what you can bring on the bike. Because my friend was like, oh, this is the formula you want, you know, using these powders and these electrolytes, and my stomach just couldn't. My stomach is pretty sturdy when it comes to being able to eat a lot of different things, but for some reason, this kind of mix of endurance stuff just did not agree. So I ended up taking like Uncrustables and packing them on my bike. And I was like, this is what I need for fuel. Cause I agreed with it pretty well, for those long endurance rides, but it was tough cause it's a November race and this is Florida. So our peak training is in 90, 95 degree weather. And, you know, I can tell you, you know, you mentioned the blisters. It was the chafing and the frothing that got me. I mean, I would get off after a bike ride and chafed all over one. And then just, I saw things come out of my body that I'd never seen before. It was like root beer froth. I was like, what is this? You know, but you know, you just plug away and see, keep the goal in mind.
Where did that come from?
Done.
I mean, what part of
I don't know.
Well,
it was
come
probably
on,
like
Ted.
Salt.
Like
and...
your groin, your butt, your
Oh,
legs.
No, oh, yeah, yeah. It was on my thighs. Oh, it was on my thighs.
On your thighs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on my thighs.
I didn't mean come
yeah.
out of your butt, by the way. I meant like sweat on your butt, lower back kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it was everywhere. I mean, it was just, you know, but it was primarily thighs.
Gosh.
And, you know, and there. So it was, but I don't know what it was. I mean, I think it was, I assume it was some mixture of salt and, you know, and sweat and just being out there for so long. So, the training was hard because it's hard to keep up with your, you know, job and family and trying to make sure you get in enough volume to be able to prepare yourself for, you know, for race day.
You know, it's funny because I was just when you started talking about food, I was thinking, I'm going to ask you about food because I'm assuming during that year of training, you're going to have to eat a lot more because you're exercising so much more. So what was that?
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, we could spend a whole time talking about the psychology of diet and food, but for someone who is not a quote unquote endurance athlete, somebody who's struggled with weight a lot, you know, how do you get in the mindset where it's okay to eat, you know, and not feel guilty about it?
Point.
You know, you need to replenish calories. You need to fuel yourself for these long things. But to me, I was like, wow, this is a big training ride. This is going to be a chance to actually burn some calories and burn some weight. So it became this like little dance, this little psychological dance of, you know, you got to fuel yourself. But oh my gosh, if I just can cut back a little bit here, maybe I'm going to actually drop some pounds, which is going to help me, you know, in the actual race. So, you know, I had to kind of balance those two. You know, I don't think I did a great job with it because I erred on the side of, you know, that's what my friend was all over me about. He's like, you're not paying enough attention to your nutrition. You need to pay more attention to your nutrition. You're going to perform better, you know, with, you know, by thinking about this more and trying and really focusing on it. Because, you know, after all, as we know, you know, calories are energy and that's what's going to get us through, you know, not just the race, but the training as well.
Did he feel like you were being too restrictive?
Yeah, he said I was not eating enough, which is something that's nobody's ever said to me ever in my entire life. But, you know, that's, you know, I wasn't eating enough. You know, just wasn't eating enough. I mean, you're putting in, you know, those bike rides, you're putting in 6-hour days. Those long runs, you're putting in 2-2.5 hour, you know, runs. You know, swimming makes me starving. I love it, but it makes
me
starving.
Too.
And, you know, he said I wasn't eating enough, especially beforehand, right? I'm a reward eater. So it's like, oh my gosh, I had a great workout. I guess I deserved a corned beef sandwich, you know, but to train for an Ironman, you really need to eat during it and post eat to recover. Right. And, that was a mindset that I did not fully embrace. And it was hard to get past that. And I think if I were to do another one, I'd be much smarter about the nutrition aspect.
Now, did he tell you what you should be eating more of?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, for the actual, training part, he had these concoctions of different mixes that are supposed to replenish carbs and all those kinds of things. And, you know, I mean, I think there's different viewpoints on kind of the ratios and what you eat. You know, most endurance athletes, I shouldn't say most, but many endurance athletes certainly subscribe to, you know, the carb as your source of energy. You know, but anybody who's looking to perform well is looking for kind of a mixed ratio of your macronutrients of carbs, fat, and protein. But I'm not a high level performer. I didn't need to pie chart my macronutrients, right? I just, you know, tried to eat balanced and well, and, you know, probably not enough. But he, you know, he was really good about trying to stay on me and say, you're not thinking about this enough and you got to pay more attention to it because you're going to need it.
All right. Take us to the day of the Ironman. I want to hear like what it was actually like when you were doing it.
Okay. So, you know, incredibly nervous, but a calm set of nervous. I would say it was not like the jitters that you feel before you public speak or do something, you know, that's very acute, because it was like a low level of stress for the entire day.
Yeah.
Because I knew I trained, I knew that I was in as good a shape as I could have been in. I knew I could have done more, and I knew it was going to be close. So there was a low level of stress of whether or not I was going to hit that 17-hour mark. And, you know, you get up early, it's a 7 o'clock start. So we probably got up at 4 or 4:30 to take in our first nutrition. So we were taking in like in maybe 1300 calories right at the start, cause you got to kind of pre-fill, to get that base before you go out there and start going. So we had big, you know, bagels, peanut butter, some shakes, you know, just, you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to be sloshing around. So it was several hours before, you know, get all our gear ready, make sure you have everything for your transitions. And, you know, you're kind of milling around a little nervous, you're well hydrated. So you're, you know, going to the bathroom a lot. And, then you step out onto the beach. This was in, Panama City in Florida. So we were swimming in the Gulf. And you know, your wetsuit's on and national anthem plays and, you know, it's, but you're about ready to go. And my friend was going to be much faster than I, so we were not doing it together or anything. So, you know, he just kind of grabbed my head and told me I was going to do it. And, you know, off we went into the water and, you know, start swimming. You gotta go through these big breaks and it's basically a two loop rectangle. So you swim out pretty far, make a left turn, swim back in, run on the beach, swim out far, left turn, run back on the beach to get your mileage in. And I felt very good on the swim, felt relaxed. You get hit and kicked a little bit. I got one kick right in my gut when somebody in front of me stopped, went straight up,
gosh.
I don't know if they took a breath or whatever. And then when they went to go swim again, they kicked and that kicked me right in the gut because I had stopped because they were in front of me.
Gosh.
But you know, I was, you know, kind of got through the swim. I was hoping to get through the swim between an hour and 30 minutes, an hour and 45 minutes. And I was hoping to be on the closer end of 1:30. And I got out of the swim in 1:35. And I was like, wow, oh my gosh, great day. You know, this is going to be good. I'm going to be good. And then got to transition, wetsuit off, get my bike stuff ready. And I knew this was going to be the hard one. So, just went on my bike, you know, tried to be fairly, you know, steady. I didn't want to go out too fast. I didn't want to bonk. I just wanted to do what I could do. We had a pretty good headwind for the first 20 miles, which I was not happy about. But in the first 20 miles, I got passed by a ton of people. So instead of letting that get me down, I just told myself, you know what? I beat them all out of the water. So, you know what?
That's right.
I'll take that and just run your race. I mean, just ride your race right now. So I just plugged away and I just steadily got slower and slower as the bike went on, and it was pretty lonely out there because I was toward the back, you know, at this point. But I got into the bike before the cutoff and I got in without any flats. So I was like, okay, I think I had whatever, well, I don't know. I think I got in about maybe 5:30 or something at night, you know? So that gave me, no, it must have been a little earlier than that because you have until midnight to finish. But I told myself, you know, you got in. I was obviously spent 112 miles on the bike, 2.4 miles swim. And it's like, okay, here it is, right? You got 26 miles to go and you just got to kind of plug away. So my plan was I was going to run. I think my plan was I was going to run 2 minutes and then walk a minute. And I don't care how fast I went. You were just going to get into that little rhythm and just keep going. Well, I did the first mile like that, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 1 minute. And I've never felt this in my entire life, but my entire body started cramping. I've never felt that. I mean, you got side stitches, you get cramps in certain muscles, but it was like my whole body just started tightening. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I am not going to be able to do this 2 minute, 1 minute thing. So you have to kind of readjust your plan. So I said, okay, I got to mile one and I said, okay, I'm going to walk as fast as I can to mile five. I'm going to give my body a chance to reboot, get settled in, and just walk as fast as I can. So I just, I mean, I wasn't doing like a race walk, but I wasn't like loitering around the sidewalk. I just kept walking as fast as I could. I just said, give yourself to mile five. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Just go.
Yeah.
So I got to five and I was okay. And then I just got in the mindset where I was like, okay, just run when you can, you know, just run where you can. And I ended up getting into a groove where I would run 100 steps and then just walk. And then whenever I felt like I could, I would run 100 steps and then just walk. And then I had two bad, you know, I don't want to say bad moments, but kind of freak out moments on the run course. One was at the halfway mark. Halfway mark's a turnaround, so you often see people ahead of you. So I could see that a guy was about 10 minutes ahead of me, and somebody comes up to him and says, they are tracking you not to finish this race. You have got to move it, and you've got to move it now. I'm like, holy gosh. So this person's 10 minutes ahead of me, and they're saying did not finish. What they're predicting do not finish. I was like, oh, my gosh, what does that mean for me? So that ended up being my fastest mile in the whole race was between 13 and 14. But then I settled in. I said, look, your watch is telling you you're okay. You're okay. So it must have been they were predicting based off of his slowdown. You know, I don't know why that person was getting that message. And I was like, you know, that's the lesson. It's like, stop worrying about people around you. You got to just take care of yourself. That's and my watch was telling me I was still ahead of time. So I got back into my 100 step run and then walk. And then my other kind of freak out was, this, to your blister question, is I had just a fired up blister on the ball of my foot. It was just on fire and it was making it hard to run. But I think about mile 17 or 18, I think it just finally just exploded and it was... which was good, right? Because it exploded and the fluid was out and it was a little bit more comfortable to run at that point. So I just kept my rhythm, talked to a few people here and there as we went. It's, you know, it's dark. The finishers, the really good people had been done for hours at this point. They'd already had a meal, showered, or hanging out. And it wasn't until about 2 miles left in the race that I knew that I had it. It was the first time all day where I was like, okay, I'm going to make it. Cause I think I was at 16 in hours and a little bit with 2 miles to go. And I was like, okay, I can walk slowly and make it by 17 hours. So for the last 2 miles, I knew I had it. And, I'll tell you, like, as for someone who's never, had any success in athletics at all, that last half mile was just incredible because they tell you that the finishing shoot of an Ironman is one of the most unbelievable experiences you'll have in the last hour of it because it's packed, right? It's not like the end of a road race when everybody's gone and packed up. The last hour of an Ironman, the crowds are like three or four people thick and they're cheering and they're cowbelling. And so I came in the last quarter mile and I was actually running. It was like the most sustained run I had, you know, all race. And I was high-fiving people. I was giving primal yells and it was unbelievable. And I crossed the finish line in 16:39 and I think 20 some seconds. So I finished with 20 minutes to spare and doesn't matter, you know, to me, doesn't matter how fast or how slow I went. I finished it and I got that medal. And, the support I got from like people around me, family, friends, and, you know, was just incredible. And it was just a great life lesson about, you know, things you don't think you can accomplish. If you kind of break down the process and do what you can to get there, you got a shot to do it. And, I don't know if I'll ever do another one, but it was, something that I'll just hold for a long, long time.
Man, you are such a good storyteller. We only have like a minute left, but I'm just curious. Did you eat between events? As you say, you got out of the water, you got on your bike. Did you eat or did you have some kind of bar or those, snackable things you mentioned? Cause I'm like, how does he do this much?
Yeah, it was a little bit of, yeah, it was a little bit of everything. So I had a little bit on my bike, had a little bit in transition bags. And then on the run, they have aid stations. So what got me through the run was they had Coke, which I don't drink normally, but is incredibly delicious after you've been on your feet for 15 hours. And chicken soup. So chicken broth. I just, that was what I focused on. I was like, get to the next aid station, get some Coke and chicken soup. And it was awesome. And then you don't even want to hear what I ate after, but... Let's just say many cheeseburgers and pizza was involved.
What if you have to pee? Like, do people just stop? I mean, obviously, you just have to go, right? You're out in nature and you're drinking soda and chicken soup. You just got to zip to pee.
Yeah, you're supposed to practice peeing on the bike. Yeah, you're supposed to practice peeing on the bike. That didn't go too well during my training.
You're supposed to pee while you're on the bike?
Yes. I did not master that skill. I tried, but I did not master it.
That seems wild.
But there are porta potties. there are porta potties. So I think I pulled over once on the bike, and then obviously when you're running, it's a little easier to do that. So
wow.
And I went like five times while I was swimming.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Get it all out. Ted, I am your biggest fan now, I have to say. I just think you're phenomenal, and I can't wait to have you back. I hope you will come regularly on the show, and I want you on my other shows as well. Tell us all the ways we can find you and your great work.
So I have a website, tedspiker.com. You can link to my social there. It's at Prof Spiker. I also write the Big Guy blog for Runner's World, and if you search that, you'll be able to find some things there.
Well, you're just awesome. All right. If you want to learn more about the show, you can go on Twitter at Talk Fitness the number 2 day. There's also Talk Healthy the number 2 day. You can find everything you need. One stop shop. What's my website? It's Your Health with LisaDavis.com. It's Your Health, LisaDavis.com. There's so many sites and Twitters and this and that that sometimes I get mixed up, but I'm just so glad you're listening. Keep listening and stay well.
This episode of Talk Fitness was produced by The Vitamin Shoppe, where trusted health enthusiasts help you thrive every day. Visit one of 800 stores across the country or head to vitaminshoppe.com for all your wellness needs.